The following is a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900CHML.
Buying a home? Selling your home? You've come to the right place. This is the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900CHML.
Hello, everyone. This is Rob Golfy with RE/MAX, the Golfy team. Welcome to the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition with host Rick Zamprin.
Good morning once and one and all. We are pleased to be with you once again here on 900CHML, talking about the hottest stories in real estate with our good friend Rob Golfy, sales representative, RE/MAX Escarpment Realty, the Golfy team. Their website, robgolfy.com. That's Rob, G-O-L-F-I.com. Call the first real estate team here in Hamilton to sell 1,000 homes in a year, 905-575-7700. They're dominating the social media scene, whether it's TikTok, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. You can find them all over the place. And get an instant home estimate today by going online to golfyhomevalue.com. Plug in a few numbers, and you'll be given a better understanding of what your home could possibly go for on the open market. Boy, oh boy, we have a host of things that we're going to get to today. Hopefully we can cram it all in, including why people are leaving Toronto to live off the grid in Ontario's north. We'll talk about buying a home in a cooling market, which we have seen certainly here in Hamilton and across the country. But we'll start with a lot of things happening this week for you, Rob, and the Golfy team. And I guess we'll start with what was an unbelievable Santa Claus parade.
Yes, we were in the Hamilton Santa Claus parade, which was fantastic. It was an awesome event, and I had a lot of fun. I enjoy it. Like, you know, everybody's in a happy mood. The kids are excited, and everybody's, you know, looking at the different floats and, you know, the different ideas that everybody put together. And it was awesome. It was awesome. And the great thing about it was it made it even more Christmassy was the snow. Mm-hmm. It was snowing, and the pictures looked even better with the snow coming down during the parade. It was fantastic.
Was there I know you guys had an unbelievable float, but was there another float or another presentation that you thought, wow, that's pretty cool?
You know what? It was kind of hard because I didn't get a chance to sit and watch the rest of the parade. So I was looking for it online so that I could see the whole parade. Mm. Because once you're at the end of the parade, you got to find a way to get your float in away from there so that, you know, because everybody's just going to be coming off the line and trying to find directions where to go. But I at the group that I was with, there were some good, nice floats with lots of lighting, and it was pretty exciting. And the people were great. You know, everybody's walking around, you know, shaking hands and, you know, and commenting on everybody's float. It was fantastic. It was, I great experience. We're doing six parades this year.
Oh,
we're doing six. Yeah. So it's, so we did the Niagara Falls one already. We did the Hamilton one. We're doing West Lincoln called us and asked us if we would do, the West Lincoln one. So we said, yeah, absolutely. We'd love to be part of that. And then there's the, next Saturday is the Stony Creek Grimsby. Stony Creek is in the afternoon and Grimsby is in the evening. So it's all on the same day. So works out perfect because you just go down Highway 8 and get set up for the next the Grimsby parade after the Stony Creek. So we're looking forward to that. But this afternoon, West Lincoln is having a parade. If you want to take the kids out, go check it out, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, nice to have it back after a couple of years of not having these parades and being able to gather together and celebrate the season. So it's great to see the Golfy team having an awesome float and partaking in these parades as well. Let's get to some real estate related stories. One of which is a woman, from what I understand, who bought a home and the agent didn't quite do their job. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so this lady bought this house and it was on the water and there was a lot of issues with this property. So in the listing, it said it had a 6-car garage. Now there's a 6-car garage beside the barn. Now, when she moved in, she started moving stuff into the 6-car garage and the neighbor comes over and says, Hey, what are you doing? This is my garage. And what?
Oh, no.
I mean, this is like, it's probably an acre and a half property. So, I mean, the lot lines could be, very, you don't know where it is. You see the satellite view.
Right.
So that's the one issue. So on the listing, it does explain that it has a 6-car garage, and also it explains it's got a barn on it. So are they calling the barn the 6-car garage? Also, it said that it had cottages on there, and she couldn't see inside the cottages because they were rented. Well, they had kitchens. Well, they don't have kitchens. They're just sheds, big sheds. And so there's a lot of discrepancy on the on that part of it. The erosion on the waterfront, it's pretty bad. And they're going to have to do something. It's going to cost, hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep that in place. There was a lot of other issues on there. The biggest issue is that they're closing the road. She's not going to have access to her house.
Oh, geez.
Because they're doing some major construction. The city, the town is doing some major construction in this area, and this is a rural area. And she won't have access to a road. Now, the previous owners knew that because they were at the town. It was being discussed and everything. But either the previous owners didn't tell the agent, or the agent knew and just tried to sell. But just the way it seems, the way this deal was put together, it doesn't look good for the agent. It doesn't look good. And the thing is, she was a listing agent and the agent that represented the buyer. So she represented both parties. Also, part of it for her to get the financing, she changed the listing to say residential versus agriculture. It's an agricultural property. Now, it's hard to get financing on agricultural properties. So what she did was when she submitted the listing to the banks for her, she basically said here, like, she changed it so that the banks would think it's a residential property. So there's a lot of things there that that is going to cause a lot of problems. And this property she paid $2 million for is probably only worth maybe $700,000 now.
Wow.
And so I'm helping this lady do some investigation. She regrets not using us. We didn't represent her as the buyer. She wished she did a lot of, and if she did. Like, we have experts, and including myself, that if we walk into rural properties regarding septic systems, regarding wells, cisterns, shoreline protection, all that, and agricultural properties, we know that. We know that it could be a factor. And none of that was mentioned. And I feel sorry for the lady, so I'm definitely going to help her to make sure that she'll be able to, everything gets rectified. There's no doubt it's going to be a lawsuit. There's no doubt about it.
Wow.
So I'm helping her investigate things and what to look for and everything, all that kind of stuff, because I feel really bad for her that she's caught up into this thing. And, you pay $2 million for a house, and chances are she bought a $2 million house, and chances are it was probably a lot of her life savings that went into this, buying this property. And, it's a lot of money, and it's just sad to see somebody go through that. And so anyway, I'm there to help them out. Well, hopefully it gets rectified.
That is a wild story. I got a couple of questions on it. Number one, the buyer, did they buy this property sight unseen, or was the buyer allegedly misled by the agent? Because if you're saying this has a 6-car garage and it doesn't, I mean, that's misleading.
Well, it is, but the 6-car garage is there. You see it,
right? It's just not part of that listing.
Like, it just. And the other thing is the cottage, they couldn't get in because they said it was rented. It wasn't rented. There was nobody in there. And so that was misled. And there was a lot of little things that were misled. And I don't know, I don't know. And it's not good. It's not good. And previously, this house was sold to somebody 4 months earlier, but they didn't close. Maybe they found out about stuff that got them out of the deal, and the agent didn't disclose. So there's going to be a lot of issues that have to be found. And again, you don't mess around as a realtor. You don't mess around. Our job is to look for everything. Our job is to find out all the information. And if it's anything you don't know, you don't publish. Like, is that six car garage? Is it the homeowner that told that seller that that's their six car garage? It's very close to the property line. So it's like finding, if somebody says you got all new wiring, you better make sure it's got all new wiring. Cause if there's any old wiring in between the walls, you can be in a lot of trouble and you're going to have to replace that. Hmm. And the agent will have to do it because it's their job to seek out the information about the properties, especially on waterfront, rural, and like farms and stuff like that. You better find out all the information. As a realtor, he should know it. He should have experience in it, and he should know all about it, from the water. And apparently, the water test it's contaminated there for some reason. The well water, they got problems with it, and that wasn't disclosed. So it's a whole slew of things, Rick, and I feel real bad for these people, and I think, you know, it's sad.
Because this agent represented the buyer and the seller, is there any culpability on the seller's part, or is this all on the agent?
I think the sellers will have some kind of liability.
Okay.
And the agent will have more of it. But if the sellers never mentioned any of it, but that's how we'll find out from the agent prior that had the offer on it. Is the reason why they walked away from it because they found out things before closing that there's issues on this property? And if there was, obviously the sellers and the agent knew about it and they didn't disclose to the next buyer. And that's why in BC, in British Columbia, you can't list and sell a house as an agent.
Yeah.
You can't represent both parties. I mean, you can have somebody in the same office. One person represents the seller and the other person represents the buyer, but the same person can't represent buyer and seller at the same time, which I think we should implement that in Ontario too, because I truly believe in that.
Why hasn't that happened? I know we only have about a minute, but why hasn't Ontario followed BC's lead?
I don't know. Most lawsuits happen because of realtors representing both parties. And I don't get it. I don't get it at all. So, but eventually it'll come this way, and they'll look. British Columbia has been doing it for a while. They're going to watch and learn from them, and then they'll probably implement it here.
Lots more to come on the show, including why Niagara is one of the most sought after places to buy a home. That and more coming up here on the Gulfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Welcome back to the Gulfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Rick Samfrin with you alongside Rob Gulfy, sales representative, RE/MAX Escarpment Realty, the Gulfy team. You can find them on the World Wide Web, robgulfy.com. That's Rob, GOLFI.com. Call the number one RE/MAX team here in Canada, the Gulfy team, 905-575-7700. That's 905-575-7700. You can follow the Gulfy team on Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, and Twitter. Send them an email with a topic idea or a real estate-related question. That email address is questions@robgulfy.com, and we will address it on a future Gulfy Real Estate Show. Still to come, we'll talk about Niagara being a sought-after hot market, and we'll also get to why people are leaving Toronto to go off the grid up north. Before we get to that, how is the local market doing?
So far, based, you know, till today, now the market has dipped a little bit. Now we're not through the whole month yet, but in October it did come up a bit from September. So for instance, in Hamilton, September, the average sale price in Hamilton was $782,750. And then in October it jumped up to $793,77. Right now, we're hovering about 771,000. So we're down from October and September a little bit. So, but again, the month's not over yet, but I just, you know, try to bring it up, you know, to see where we're at. So Hamilton's come down. Burlington has come down. This is the first time so far this year Burlington has been under the $1 million mark as average sale price so far. So now, again, we're only 3 weeks in. 3 weeks into the month, and but that could change in the next 10 days. But Niagara, again, we're down from October. Again, October was a good month in real estate sales, and I'm talking about an average sale price. So October, it spiked just a little bit, like, you know, maybe like, you know, 2-3%. But now, so far in November, we're down probably about, again, another 2-4%. So things, you know, are moving moderately. Have we landed? It's hovering tight. It's hovering tight. Is it bottomed out? It's hard to tell yet. I know there's a lot of news saying next year it will. I don't know if it's going to bottom out even more, but there'll be a little bit of adjustments, a little bit more, but not dramatic adjustments that are going to happen in the new year.
With inflation where it is, and with interest rates rising over the last number of months now, we know Christmas is on the way. That's usually a busy shopping season. People want to get, you know, their houses in order to host guests and have parties or whatever the case is. Are we expecting a pretty dormant December and January compared to years in the past?
I don't think so. I think, you know, maybe just a little bit more, but not that much, because people still need to move. The one thing I know at this time of the year, if you are looking to rent, this is the time of the year to find a place to rent. People do not like moving. Renters do not like moving December and January. And you can negotiate a deal, because a lot of rent, there'll be apartments for rent or houses for rent. They're not getting that much action. So the landlord is thinking, wow, what's going on? Is it dried up? It hasn't dried up. It's just the time of the year. I know that because I have units, and I know I have one or two units around this time, and it's a little soft in the calls in the rental. So if you're renting, if you're renting, you can negotiate on that rent. And right now is a good time to negotiate. So if you want to give your 60 days notice December 1st, right, and move in for February 1st, you probably can negotiate a really good rental rate and try to get a two-year contract so that your rent doesn't go up for 2 years. But any other time, the spring, summer, and fall, those are busy times of the year, people like that are looking to rent places. But during the middle of the heart of winter, it is tough to find a renter. I know that because I know the time of year is what they're busy or not. But right now, if you're looking to rent something and move and change, right now is the time to do it and find something for January, February. But otherwise, if you're a landlord, don't worry. You may have to have an empty unit for another month or two, and then you'll get it rented for the price that you want.
If you want to sell your home or you are in the market to buy a house, call Hamilton, Burlington, and Niagara's top real estate team, the Golfy Team, at 905-575-7700. Online at robgolfy.com. That's Rob, GOLFI.com. Let's turn over to our next topic. And this is an interesting one because we know we have a cooling market. You just referenced some of the numbers between September, October, and the first few weeks here in November. And it's trending a little bit downwards in terms of average sale price. So the market, obviously, as we know, is cooling. What are some tips that you can provide, Rob, to people who are looking for a home? They're looking to buy a house, whether it's in Hamilton, Burlington, Niagara, in this cooling market. What should they be doing?
Well, you know, obviously getting a realtor and actually really knowing the market. We know that offers that are coming in now are coming in. They're coming in pretty aggressive, which is, you know, fine. Like we have one in the Durand area. They came in about 150,000 below what we're asking. And we signed it back, and now we're still in negotiations with it. And I think we're going to come to a price. So as a buyer, there are deals right now. And it, I mean, it's hard to say deals because is it a deal from the listing price, or is it a deal, or is it a deal? You know what I mean? Are you getting a really good deal from what the market value is? You're going to pay market value. Sellers, I'd say the majority of them are willing to negotiate. They know they have to. And buyers, buyers are have a good agent. They'll know that the sellers will move a little bit, unless it's a good product. If it's a great house, it's got everything, there's not going to be too much movement on the house because they're going to get a lot of action on it. And I mean, they may not get full price, but they'll get pretty close to it. And because it is priced well and it's got all the bells and whistles. But as a buyer, you know, buyers are the ones that have the money. Buyers know the market better than the realtors do because they're the ones, you know, that it's their pocketbook. They're the ones that are shopping. Us as realtors, we try to estimate what the value is, what a willing buyer is willing to pay. But as a buyer, you definitely, there's opportunities out there to purchase properties, and just keep strong on it. Like remember I told you the story last week about one of our agents in a course of 3 months or 3.5 months kept submitting an offer on the same property, and finally they got the deal done. See, like, and that's, you know, the seller finally realized they're not going to get the price that they want. The market dictates it, but there's opportunities out there. The buyers just have to get the right agent working for them.
Might be a good time too, and I'm not sure if you've run into this in terms of people who are willing to, you know, get into a home. They might have to look at their bank account and what they can afford, because we know that interest rates have risen. We know that the stress test obviously is higher because those rates have gone up. Have you encountered potential home buyers who have thought, you know what, because the interest rates have moved to this level, I can't make that down payment. I can't make these mortgage payments. How many times have those conversations been had over the last number of months?
Absolutely. I have a couple that's renting a two bedroom. It's a side by side duplex, and they're refugees. I'm not sure they've been here. I think 2.5 years, 3 years now, and they're really good savers. They were ready. They had the down payment ready to do something. Now interest rates are up, so that kind of affected their buying power now. And so now they're going to have to rent probably for another couple years or more so they can afford to buy a house. It's affected them. And, you know, these people, I mean, believe me, they don't have a lifestyle where they're going to the movies or going out for dinners or anything. These guys are working. It's a family. They got two kids, a really nice couple. And I feel for them. I feel that... you know, it'd be nice to see them own a house and be proud and you know, for home ownership. But it may take another 5 years for these people, and it's affected them. They're, you know, like the market's changed, and it is tough. Like, it is tough. I was just thinking about the time when I was 20 years old, and I bought my first house. I bought the first two houses in the same year, and they were investment properties. The first one was $40,000. Yeah. And I think you only had to come up with 10% down. So that was only 4,000 down. It was easier to save 4,000. I think back when I was buying a house than it is today. Like, that was 10%. Now it's 5%, and people's wages don't match up to what the housing prices went to. Like, if you go back 30 years of people's wages versus 30 years of housing prices, it doesn't line up. And that's what's making it tougher. And and a lot of people are going through that now. A lot of people are struggling, and, you know, especially with the stress test, you add another 2% on top of the 5 or 6% that the interest rates are at. It's tough to afford anything in the Hamilton, Burlington, or even Niagara markets. It's tough. You have to have an income, household income, probably 150 to 200,000 now to afford anything.
Well, there could be a deal for you way up in northern Ontario. So in the Temiskaming region, which is just north of Sudbury, so we're talking, you know, several hours drive from here, the average price of a home in this area is much lower than what you are seeing in the GTA. So at last check in the Greater Toronto Area, the average price of a house was just north of $1 million as of October. But there's a community, I guess it's an unincorporated village, called Boreal Forest Medieval Village. And the price of a house there is about $150,000. And this is obviously very attractive to some people in the GTA who can potentially sell their homes or just outright buy a home in this village for much, much less. There's about 400 or so people already living there. Do you see this taking off?
I could see there's I'm not going to say a percentage, but I could see there be a lot of people moving remotely out there. Everything's cheaper. I get it. It's affordable, but you're way up north. I think I tried to Google the area. It's near Peterborough. Am I correct?
No. This is north. This is north of Sudbury.
Oh, north of Sudbury.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's pretty far up there.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have to visit family back in Toronto if you're living up there, because I think maybe people might take one trip up there and that's the only trip they're going to ever take to go up to this remote area. But it just depends. I mean, if you can find it, if you're retiring, that's perfect, because you got your pension, you got your investments, that's great. Mm-hmm. But if you got a family, you got to hopefully get a job up there, or you can, you know, remotely do your job from your house, working at your home. But yeah, people are leaving the GTA and going, they're just spreading everywhere because of the cost of housing. It's just incredible. And it's going to continue doing that. Like, Toronto is going to bring immigrants in, and then there's going to be people that live there for a bit, and then they're going to leave, and it's just going to be a constant flow of exodus of people exiting Toronto to go all different parts of the province or even other provinces in Canada.
Well, we even saw that in the early stages of the pandemic when people realized, oh, I can work from home. My gosh, I can sell my house in Toronto and just buy something in Muskoka or Cottage Country for a fraction of the price. And so many homes were being scooped up and the value of those homes were skyrocketing. And I mean, this is taking it to another level, because you're about, I don't know, 8, 9, 10 hours away from Toronto. You're not maybe a 2 to 3 hour drive. So we're talking really remote, and so much so you're off the grid. I mean, you don't have the same, infrastructure, pipelines, electrical, infrastructure that we have here in Southern Ontario. So this is quite a leap.
Oh yeah. You better have enough food just in case you get snowed in for a month.
You better, or the bears get
stock
to you.
Up on, yeah, you better stock up on a lot of stuff. And when you're up that far north, especially in the wintertime.
Yeah.
But I mean, I get it. People are looking for a place to live, raise their family and afford a home without paying rent. If you think about it, every person is paying a mortgage. Every single person in Ontario or in Canada is paying a mortgage, whether you own it or you're paying it for somebody else. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's
everybody's
a sad reality.
Paying a mortgage. So every renter out there is paying a mortgage, but they're paying somebody else's mortgage.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing.
When we come back, we're going to talk about why Niagara is one of the most sought-after places to buy a home, not only in this province, but in this country. And we'll also get into why it's important, if you have a teenager at home, why it's important to help them build their credits. Don't forget, if you want to sell your home or you are in the market to buy a house, you got to call the Golfy team, Hamilton and Burlington's number one REMAX team in volume and unit sales, 905-575-7700. Online at robgolfi.com. That's robgolfi.com. More coming up here on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. You're listening to the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition, on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Rob Golfy, sales representative, RE/MAX's Scartman Realty, the Golfy team. You got to call the first real estate team in Hamilton's history to sell 1,000 homes in a year. That's the Golfy team, 905-575-7700. Get your home sold for top dollar by going online to robgolfy.com. That's Rob, GOLFI.com. And you can follow the Golfy team on Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, and Facebook. If you have a topic idea or a question that you would like Rob to address on a future program, send the Golfy team an email, questions@robgolfy.com. Again, that's questions@robgolfy.com. Well, we've talked about the popularity of Niagara virtually every show for the last number of years on the Golfy Real Estate Show, and a little more love for this area because it's one of the most sought-after regions for buyers. What makes Niagara so attractive?
You know what? I know that area very well. I grew up there, and it is a great, it's a mini city, and there's so much to do, especially as a kid growing up. I rode my bike everywhere. I went to Niagara on the lake all the time, rode my bike everywhere around the city. And then as a high school person, we drove around. You were close to the border back those days. The border was popular to cross to go to the nightclubs and stuff like that. But the attraction of it was the affordability from the beginning. And plus, there's so many things to do in Niagara. You got wineries, you got restaurants, you've got the Niagara Falls, there's just so much. And you're not that far down the Queenie to Toronto. If you think about it, on a clear, no traffic day, you can probably get to Toronto from Niagara Falls in probably about an hour and 15 minutes or even sooner. Cause I remember I used to drive that all the time, but with traffic, you're probably looking at an hour and a half now, and traffic is heavier now. You could see the traffic going to Niagara Falls especially when you hit, from Burlington all the way to Niagara Falls, on a Saturday afternoon. It's just, it's insane. If you're going to go to the falls, you better go early Saturday morning, not in the afternoon. But there's a lot to do there. And that's why people go there, visit, to be a tourist. But then they say, you know what? I think I can live here, and it's not that far from Toronto. So that's the popularity, and that's what's driven the housing market up quite a bit.
Absolutely. Some stats from census data shows that between 2016 and 2020, the last two census periods, that the largest number of people moving to the Niagara region came from, number one, the GTA, followed by Hamilton, and then Ottawa, Gatineau, and the London region. So they're coming from all over the place. It's not just Hamilton and the GTA.
Yeah, no, I know. And it is a great area to live. And Niagara Falls, and that's why Niagara Falls was always a lower average sale price for years. But then because of this exodus of people moving from the GTA and elsewhere, the average sale price in Niagara Falls creeped up to what St. Catharines is. And it's just because of the fact that like Niagara Falls was always a low priced real estate, great area to buy real estate. And I remember not that long ago, and it was probably five, six years ago, I was looking at this one wartime house. It didn't have a basement, and it was about $105,000. I couldn't believe I didn't buy it. I said, I don't know, I need a lot of work here and there. Those houses are going for $500,000 now. Like, it's just, you can't get anything in Niagara Falls decent anymore. And it is driving the exodus of people leaving Toronto is driving the prices in Niagara up.
Another statistic we should pay attention to, and I'm not sure this is going to translate into more residents in Niagara, is that the federal government quite recently announced that it wants to bring in about 500,000 immigrants a year by 2025. So that's like 1.5 million new immigrants coming into Canada. They more often than not land in the GTA or maybe Montreal or maybe Vancouver and maybe some of the other capital cities. Would they soon be looking at Niagara given the price point to the homes there?
Absolutely. Depending on the jobs and everything. But once they come to Canada or let's say Toronto, they'll get a feel of how things are. And most people, when they come, They either know somebody that lives in Toronto, or they go to a community where is from the same country. So, and then they get a feel of the landscape of where they should be. But that, I'm going to tell you, with the 1.5 million people they want here in the next 3 years, and they just had the biggest surge of immigrants that came in last year was 400,000, and they want to do another 1.5 million. That's going to cause a lot of problems, with housing. Housing is going to get more expensive. Rentals are going to get more expensive, and we can't build them fast enough, and we're not going to be able to keep up. But there's going to be another crisis in 3 to 5 years from now.
Wow, that's going to be interesting to watch. When we come back, we'll talk about establishing credit for your teenager. And if we have time, we'll also get into getting your home sold with an effective home listing. Stay tuned. Those are next here on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. And one more go around here on the Golfy Real Estate Show, Hamilton Edition on 900 CHML. Rick Samprin with Rob Golfy, sales representative, RE/MAX Escarpment Realty, the Golfy team. You can follow the Golfy team on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Call the number one RE/MAX team in Canada. That's the Golfy team, 905-575-7700, 905-575-7700. Online at robgolfy.com. That's Rob, G-O-L-F-I.com. And while you're on the World Wide Web, head over to golfyhomevalue.com for an instant home estimate. Let's talk about establishing credit. As we know, saving up for down payment is extremely hard these days with the number of, you know, pressure points when it comes to teenagers. It's not easy. It's never been easy, really. But establishing that credit and doing so early holds a number of benefits, because when you think about it, if you're sending your teenager away to university or college, they might need an apartment if they can't get into the residence. Having that good credit from that teen standpoint is a massive plus.
Oh, it is. It is. And if, let's say your 18-year-old, you know, doesn't buy anything or anything, get a credit card for him. You use it yourself as a parent, and then you will establish such great credit for that child. So when he's ready to buy something, or he or she ready to buy something, the banks will see that he's got the highest credit rating. I'll tell you, even if you have a cell phone, if you pay your cell phone late all the time, that goes on your credit bureau. I'm telling you, like Bell, Rogers, and Vital, and all those guys, they do rank your credit based on how you make your payments. So your cell phone bill is very important, but your credit card, just get a small credit card. Make sure you're paying all the time on time, and you will have the highest score. The banks will see it, and you'll get acceptance fast. And sometimes your rate is even better too on your interest rate if you got the best credit rating out there. And it's not that hard to build a great credit rating. And so for parents that, you know, they have a child that they want to help them out, maybe. And the thing is, if they do that for 2-3 years, when they're finished university, college, or anything, they will be able to buy anything they want, to get a car that they want with, it'll be easier. And they're like I said, interest rate will be a lot better if you have a great credit rating. So parents, if you want to help your kids out, get a credit card and put it in their name, and maybe you use it, and you'll build that credit rating up for them.
Yeah, it's easy to do. You can open up a student credit card. A lot of those are available, especially if your child is in post-secondary education. They're secured credit cards. Some of the things you don't want to do, or at least you don't want your teen to do, miss those payments. That's a big X. Don't forget about old accounts. Make sure you close those ones and eventually pay off those credit card balances. That goes a long way to improving your credit. Let's end with that effective home listing. We see listings all over the place, including robgolfi.com, there's the pretenders and then there's the contenders. And the pretenders are not doing it right. The contenders, like you'll see on robgolfi.com, are getting eyeballs on those listings. What makes for an effective home listing?
You got to put all the information that a homeowner or a buyer is interested in. Most listings have the lot size, the square footage, and everything else like that. You got to put all the other things that a homeowner is looking for. For instance, you got to put the updates of the house. You know, updated kitchen with granite countertops, lake views, things like that. That sometimes, you know, in pictures you can see, but you can't tell. But you want to attract people to read that listing. So your first opening line is got to be super important. You got to make people want to read that listing, and they'll say, hey, you know what, maybe we should check this out. It might not be the house that they were thinking of buying or the area, but because you put a lot of good things in there, they may be attracted to look at it. Now, like, I know I'm the type of guy that puts the facts in, but I want to put good facts in. You know, I know some people like writing a story. Sometimes the stories are too long. And they'll put, yeah, sitting by the poolside and listening to the birds and all that kind of, I'm not that, it's, you know what I mean? Like, we know, but put down, beautiful resort style pool, you know what I mean? Like in treated in private area. I don't put like, you know, and that's what people want to know. They want to know it's private. You got a pool and it's beautifully landscaped. Those are the important things that people want to know. And they want to know how old's the pump, how old's the liner, how old's the filter. So they know, okay, listen, if I buy this house, I don't have to do or buy anything to maintain or repair this. It is already done. And those are the facts that people want when they're looking for a house and when they're reading the comments on the listing.
Those examples, just another reason why the Golfy team is the number one RE/MAX team in Canada and the first in Hamilton's history to sell 1,000 homes in a year. Get the Golfy team selling for you. 905-575-7700. Online at robgolfi.com. That's robgolfi.com. Don't forget, you can listen to our show online through Spotify, iTunes, Google Podcast, Stitcher, and many more. Just search for the Golfy Real Estate Show in your favorite podcast platform. Hit that follow button and you'll never miss an episode. Thanks for listening to the Golfy Real Estate Show. We're back next Saturday at 9 on 900 CHML.
The preceding was a paid commercial program. Unless otherwise identified, the guests on the program are employees of or otherwise represent the advertiser. The opinions expressed therein are those of the advertiser and do not necessarily reflect the views and policies of 900 CHML.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.